And open your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 35. We're in a series on the Cross Center Church, Anything Goes World. And we're looking at the resurrection in chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, we did verses 35 through 41 last week. I'm going to read them to set the stage for what follows today. This is the Word of God. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? You foolish person, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. What you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as He has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. For not all flesh is the same, but there is one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, another for fish. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is of one kind, and the glory of the earthly is of another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for star differs from star in glory. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable, what is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness, it's raised in power. It's sown a natural body, it's raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there's also a spiritual body. Thus it's written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. But it's not the spiritual that's first, but the natural and then the spiritual. First man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so was also those who were of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so also those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the imperishable inherit the imperishable. Let's pray. Father, we're so glad that we have your word this morning. Father, in an uncertain world, your word is true, it is certain, and it applies here and now. So, Father, we ask for your spirit to give us understanding of what you're telling us, Father, about the resurrection of the body and why we believe it. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. It is the great quest, the forever young ultimate body. Americans spend $16 billion a year on cosmetic surgery. They spend $60 billion a year on dieting programs, and they spend $3.2 trillion a year on health care. And it's not just the wealthy. American families with annual incomes of under $25,000 account for 30% of the cosmetic surgeries. And it's not just Americans. Photographer Zed Nelson visited 17 countries as he documented the global craze for the forever young ultimate body. In his book, Love Me, Nelson writes, body improvement has become a new religion. For example, some women in Manhattan have had their toes surgically shortened and then secured with metal pins so they can fit into the 3-inch Jimmy Choo stiletto shoes. In China, a procedure that was developed for little people has become popular for anybody who wants to be taller. They take and they cut your shin bone, put a metal frame in 3 inches long, and then the bone grows back, and you're taller. Now, there's some risk on that, you can imagine, but I wouldn't try it. And Nelson believes that this deadly pursuit of youth is the primary cause for this global quest for bodily perfection. He says, as our role models become ever younger and more idolized, we are so afraid of aging that the quest for youthful preservation generates an almost pathological obsession with our bodies. It's no wonder Arlene Weintraub titled her book, Selling the Fountain of Youth, How the Anti-Aging Industry Made a Disease Out of Getting Old and Made Millions. Now, the irony, of course, is that money's being spent on something that over time gets gray and gets wrinkled and gets old and begins to ache. It gets weak. It perishes. That's a soft way of saying what? It dies. Yeah. Despite the workout programs and the supplements and the wraps and the surgeries, despite the organic foods and eating a lot of kale and blueberries, the aging process goes on. Ponce de Leon never found the fountain of youth. I hope you're aware. Maybe this isn't the best time to ask how you celebrated National Junk Food Day yesterday. I won't even ask that. At the root of it all is our culture's obsession with me, with my appearance, my happiness, my story. But do we realize there is a better way to get that forever young ultimate body? To realize God has something better in store for our future, something far more spectacular than any workout regimen or eating plan can ever achieve. And it's free. Jesus paid for it all. So to learn about the promise of the resurrection of our bodies into new bodies that will be like Jesus. Bodies that will never break down. Bodies that will never age. Bodies that will be, in fact, glorious. Let's go to the text. First, I want to just review a little bit and add to what we said last week about our perishable bodies. Remember, the Corinthians grew up believing that the body's evil and the spirit is good. And so they really struggled to understand, why would anybody want their body resurrected? But then the Bible comes along and says the body has dignity. It has worth by virtue of how it is created by God in His image for this world and for the next. Eugene Peterson says it's easy to get caught up in the grandeur and beauty of the mountains or to bask in the warmth of spring and to recognize the beauty of creation that sometimes we ignore what's in front of us. He tells of this. A student who lived a distance away and rode a crowded bus to college each day said to his wife as he went out the door one morning, "I'm going to go out and immerse myself in God's creation today." And the next day he left and he said the same. On the third day his wife called him back. "Don't you think you ought to go to class today? A couple of days walking in the woods or on the beach is okay, but don't you think enough is enough?" "Oh, I've been going to class every day." "Then what's all this business about immersing yourself in creation?" "Well, I spend 40 minutes on the bus each morning and each afternoon. Can you think of a setting more thick with creation than all these people created in God's image, male and female?" So Peterson writes this, "We need to embrace the people around us with the same delight as we do the hawks soaring above us and the violets blooming at our feet. Men and women, children and the elderly, the beautiful and the plain, the blind and the deaf, amputees and paralytics, the mentally impaired and emotionally distraught, each a significant and sacred detail of God's creation." See, God declared His material world that He made to be good. And it was especially like with the creation of Adam, after which He declared everything was very good. That's why we sang Psalm 139. "We're remarkably made. For You formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise You, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are Your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from You when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth." You know, the human body is a far more complex than any human-created computer or machine. Yet because of our sin, our bodies are subject to the aging process and to death. These bodies, united with our spirits or souls, display the glory of God still. Though they're perishable, God made these bodies perfectly suitable for this created world that He made to live in it. And we should take care of them. The caution is, we should not worship or chase after some elusive, forever young ultimate body that's really not possible to attain or keep. All the pictures we see in the media today, they're manipulated. They're edited. That's not what people really look like. So I'm going to give two cautions at each end of the spectrum. First, we should take good care of our bodies. We should eat healthy, and exercising, that's important too. But we should not idolize food, nor should we idolize exercise. Don't be obsessed with looking young forever, because there is no fountain of youth, all right? Second, Too often our culture tragically sends the wrong message. And it's particularly to women, and especially teenage girls and young girls, that they are totally evaluated based on physical appearance and not the whole person that you are. Today's world of Instagram and Snapchat and the like very often contribute to that false message. So yes, we care about our bodies. We've got to be cautious not to worship our bodies. We've got to be careful not to seek to look the way the world wants us to look. Our identity is not to be based on how we look in a bathing suit, which some of us find to be very comforting. All right? Get this. We must learn to delight in the image of God in us more than in the image the world wants us to be portray. We must learn to be satisfied with how God made us for this world He created while we look forward to the body He promises us for the next world. You know, when you get to be my age, high school reunions are a wonderful way to remind you that physical beauty is fleeting. And it really doesn't matter in the end, because people, well, we're body and soul together. So we must learn to thank God for the body He gave us, the body that He uniquely created for each one of us. And yes, we come in a variety of sizes and shapes and colors and variety of physical limitations, some mild, some extreme. But all of us are fearfully and wonderfully made. Do not forget that. And do not let the world tell you any different. Again, let me repeat. We've got to learn to delight in the image of God in us more than in the image that the world wants us to portray to them. Be satisfied with how God's made us for this world and anticipate the promise of the world to come. And so let's look at the transformation of the body for that world. Look at verse 42. So it was with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable, what is raised is imperishable. It's sown in dishonor, it's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness, it's raised in power. It's sown a natural body, it's raised a spiritual body. If there's a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. All right, we sort of hinted this last week. When we talk to acorns, we'll discover that it's hard for them to fathom that one day they'll be that towering oak. And when you talk to that caterpillar this afternoon, it's hard for him to fathom that one day he'll be that beautiful butterfly. And so it is, we often struggle to see what we will become. So what has to happen to bring about transformation? Well, it says our current body has to be sown. Paul's back to the seed metaphor. Now that act of sowing is our death. The change then Paul describes is nothing short of spectacular. Do you notice the words he uses? Perishable. We age. We get sick. We die. Dishonor. You know, death is the ultimate humiliation for humans who were crowned in glory and honor to rule God's creation. There's really no such thing as death with dignity, because death robs us of all our dignity as we commit our bodies to the ground. Now, we try to display glory in this world. We try to wear clothes we hope enhance our appearance or glorify certain sports teams we identify with or places we visited or whatever, even certain designers. But the glory of all those things, even your LifeSouth t-shirts, will fade away. Weak. No matter how hard we work, our bodies are weak. Disabilities and limitations plague us. Even the Michael Jordans and Chipper Jones of our world come to a point where they cannot perform at a high level anymore. Our bodies are natural bodies made for this world. Because of sin, they are decaying and will ultimately die. But we look at the transformation God is going to bring about that we cannot bring about on our own. Notice what he says. When our new bodies are raised, they're imperishable, which is important because we're going to need our bodies for all eternity. Our bodies will never get old. We will not need any cosmetics, and we will not need to work out anymore. All right? We'll be raised in glory, which is appropriate for the new heaven and new earth, where the glory of God the creator of our resurrected bodies is on full display. And we'll be raised in power and made to glorify God and enjoy him in the new heaven and the new earth forever and ever. We will never get tired in eternity. You're not going to need alarm clocks anymore. We don't need to sleep. You know, one third of our life is supposed to be sleeping right now. In eternity, not. You're not going to have to drink caffeine for the coffee for the caffeine, but for the taste. Not going to need any Gatorade or other energy drinks. Our best days there will be nothing like our best days here. They'll be far, far better. We'll have everlasting life in a body suited for everlasting life. We'll have a spiritual body. That is, we're not just going to be spirits, but a body marked by the Holy Spirit for the age of the Spirit, where the Spirit of God is sovereign. So what are these ultimate bodies going to be like? Look at verse 45. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. Skip that down. That's not the verse I want. Go on down to verse 45. Thus it's written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. But it's not the spiritual that's first, but the natural, and then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. I'll give you a short summary of what he just said. We are going to be like Jesus. All right? Two prototype human beings, Adam and Jesus. We've been given a body like Adam, and like Adam, because of sin, our body is going to decay and die. But we bear the image of Adam. But Jesus gives us a spiritual body, and he gives us spiritual life. And when we're saved, we're transferred from the humanity where Adam is head to the new humanity where Christ is the head. And the contrast is extreme, from dust to heaven. That's an extreme change. Paul told the Philippians in Philippians 3, our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to be subject all things to himself. God promises to transform our lowly bodies to be like Jesus' glorious body. So what do we know about that body? A few things. He was recognizable. He had a recognizable voice. He did have the scars from his earthly body. He could eat and drink. Remember, we're looking forward to the wedding feast of the Lamb, and there are the fruit trees in the New Jerusalem. He could walk through closed doors, appear in rooms. He could rise up to heaven. What else? We don't know. We're sort of short on the details, aren't we? But Jesse Birch has a friend named John Erickson Tata. And here's how she summed it up on a radio program last week. When it comes to what our bodies will be like in heaven, somehow, somewhere within you is the pattern of the heavenly person you will become. If you want to catch a glimpse of how glorious your body will be, just do a comparison. Compare a fuzzy peach pit with the tree it becomes, loaded with fragrant blossoms and sweet fruit. Now, the pit and the tree are totally different, yet the same thing. And it's true with us. We may not be able to describe the changes, but we know that it's the same it. You and what you'll one day be are one and the same, yet wondrously different. Oh, friend, that is a glorious thought to meditate on. So how do we get this forever young ultimate body? Verse 50, I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. It does not just happen. We have to be transformed. And that transformation takes place based on the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross for us and his resurrection. It's all about his story, not mine. Those that identify with Adam, those that are focused on their flesh and blood, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. The old cannot be part of the new. So the old has to be buried. for the new to come. We die, but we're going to be raised to be like Jesus when we put our trust in Jesus Christ. We must believe that Jesus became a life-giving spirit through the means of his broken body and resurrection, so that our decaying bodies will not only be renewed, but we made like his to be glorious. Now, let me bring something full circle here. We need to realize that the value and the glory of our ultimate bodies enhances the value and glory of our current body. And that motivates us to care for our bodies. For example, I have Nolan Ryan's baseball card from his rookie year 50 years ago. Now, the experts tell me that card's worth about $3,000. Nobody's ever offered me $3,000 for it. If you wish to make an offer, give me a call tomorrow. Now, because of its value today, I realize that means it had value a long, long time ago, even though I didn't realize it. So my card deserved care when I was a boy. I mean, did I ever see that card and think that's going to be worth thousands of dollars one day? Well, of course not. But I'm glad I didn't do like some of my friends and attach that car to my bicycle frame so that the spokes of the tire hit it as it went around to make that really cool noise. Had I realized how valuable the card was, you can rest assured I would have really cared for it to a greater way. The value I realize it has 50 years later reminds me it had value 50 years ago. And boys and girls and teenagers and young adults, one day you're going to possess what I and all the other adults here will possess, a resurrected body that will be infinitely valuable. And it will be a body that has continuity with our current body. Right now we're the acorn that becomes the oak, the caterpillar that becomes the butterfly, the penny baseball card that becomes one worth thousands of dollars. So right now, take care of that body. Right now, you know, do not abuse your body. Do not let anybody else abuse your body. Don't abuse it with drugs or alcohol or cutting or sex outside of marriage or with pictures that expose your body to a lustful world that once posted on the internet, stay there forever till the new heavens and new earth. And do not abuse other people by looking at such pictures of them. You need to remember, sadly, in our visual age, we're, as a culture, communicate that the world values us based on physical appearance. Do not listen to that. God has made us wonderfully. We need to find our identity not in trying to look like the world wants us to look, but rather in looking like Jesus as His Holy Spirit works in us and with us to renew His image in each one of us. So what about us? Johnny Erickson, Todd, has been a quadriplegic now for 51 years. And she thinks a lot about what's to come. She says, I can still hardly believe it. I with shriveled, bent fingers, atrophied muscles, gnarled knees, and no feeling from the shoulders down, will one day have a new body, light, bright, and clothed in righteousness, powerful and dazzling. Can you imagine the hope that gives someone spinal cord injured like me? Or someone who's cerebral palsy, brain injured, who has multiple sclerosis? Imagine the hope that it gives someone who is a manic depressive. No other religion, no other philosophy promises new bodies, hearts, and minds. Only in the gospel of Christ do hurting people find such incredible hope. But as significant as that is, Johnny also says this: don't be thinking that for me, the big deal after I get to see Jesus is to get my new body. No, no, no. I want a glorified heart that no longer twists the truth, resists God, looks for an escape, gets defeated by pain, becomes anxious or worrisome, manipulates my husband with precisely timed phrases. What Johnny knows is right now God's at work on the inside part. Through regeneration, He gives us a new heart. Through sanctification, He helps put to death sin that she describes and to bring about the fruit of the Spirit. And at death, that inside job's going to be completed. We call that glorification. Then one day, when Jesus comes again, God will resurrect our bodies, glorified bodies to reflect and be united with our glorious souls for all eternity. So the anti-aging secret is out. It's Jesus who gives us forever young, ultimate bodies for a glorious future. Now the question is, are you part of that glorious future? The only way to depart is to receive the gift of eternal life from Jesus. Believe that what He did on the cross, He did for you. That marvelous grace that they sang about is extended to us who are sinners. Now, we may be here this morning and struggling with how we want the world to see us. That's an issue. Struggling with wanting a different appearance. Struggling with wanting the world's approval in how we look. Today, give that struggle up. Find delight in how God made you, knowing that He did it for His glory. And then we can really live today and forever. As J.I. Packer suggests, ask God to show you how Jesus' life, body and soul, was the only fully human life that's ever been lived. Keep looking at it as we meet Him in the Gospels until we can see it and we follow Him. And then praise Him, because we are and we will be again be fearfully and wonderfully made by Him. And after all, life's not about us. It's about Him. John tells the story of Cindy. She's a young woman with cerebral palsy. She wanted to participate in the talent show and on stage in her wheelchair. And her mother explained that she'd been working very hard on a song she would sing, Amazing Grace. And people looked at each other because of her disability, she could not speak. Then her mother left the stage with Cindy in her wheelchair all alone. And she struggled to twist her fingers and push a button on her communication device that was attached to her wheelchair, which began to say in a very monotonic, computerized voice, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And then with all her might, as the robot voice filled the room, she began to mouth the words, taking all the effort she could put into it. On top of that, she had a smile. Here's what Johnny writes. It was a performance that any opera star or recording star would envy. To be honest, I have never seen anything equal to it from that day to this. Amazing Grace is not a new song, but that night it was sung in an entirely new way. Though Cindy was able to sing the words with her vocal cords, something happened. As she leaned hard on Jesus and mouthed those words, can't explain how, but somehow it rose up in that auditorium as a ringing hymn of praise to God. But see, you realize, one day, Cindy won't be using that motorized voice anymore to sing those words. She'll be singing at the top of her lungs with her hands lifted up to the King who gives her a new body. She'll have a transformed body, fit for heaven. So for any with disabilities, with dementia, Alzheimer's, cancers wreaking havoc on their bodies, those bearing the marks of age, and for all those who are weary of trying to impress the world with our appearance, what better hope is there than this? And it's all through Jesus, to whom be the glory. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful to You for how You've made us. And Father, for how You're going to make us new bodies for eternity. So, Father, help us to find our hope in the image of God in us and how You made us, and not in trying to please the world. Father, help us to find our hope in Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, and our King. Lord, is anybody here without hope in Him? Lord, today, Father, today, Lord, show them Jesus crucified and risen and coming again, we pray. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.